This is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Denmark may have rebuffed President Trump's offer to purchase Greenland this week, but the two sides have expressed a desire to strengthen cooperation in the Arctic, including in the Northern Territory. And that could mean a boom for its mining industry. Greenland's Mineral Resources Minister, Erik Jensen, even told us there's untapped potential.
Some part of Greenland is still not explored, but I know that South Greenland have a lot of opportunities, and we would like to develop these opportunities with other countries that would like to invest in Greenland mineral resources. We have a good cooperation with the United States, and we would like to cooperate further and more with the United States, and hope that that work will develop in other areas for benefit for the Greenland.
President Trump isn't the first American leader to express a keen interest in Greenland. Dr. Duane Ryan Menendez, Managing Director of the Polar Research and Policy Initiative, explains where it all began.
From 1867, when the US has eyed Greenland, the principal economic motivations have always been resource extraction. Earlier, for cryolite, for coal. More recently, it's for rare earth elements.
And these are things that are used in, like, smartphones and technology that we use every day.
These are used in smartphones, in hybrid electric cars, and then in relation to our defense needs, rare earth elements are fundamentally important.
And the U.S. interest in buying Greenland has obviously thrust the spotlight on it and its abundance of natural resources available. But China actually already has a strong presence there, right?
China is the world's largest producer, the largest holder, the largest importer, and the largest exporter of rare earth elements. China has a complete monopoly over the rare earth element space, which means even US companies like Apple and Lockheed Martin are entirely dependent on Chinese exports of rare earth elements. And this gives China an incredible secret weapon in any US-China trade wars.
And it's threatened tariffs on rare earths on the US in this ongoing trade spat. Is Greenland interested, though, in continuing to open up that mining opportunity?
Greenland is not for sale, but it's very much open for business. Greenland wants a greater economic partnership with the US. Greenland wants to move away from an economy entirely dependent on fisheries and the block grant from Denmark. Greenland welcomes investment in its mining sector.
So when it comes to having closer business ties with various countries like the US, how does Greenland balance that and the economic growth opportunities that that brings with an environmental impact of opening up more mining?
The Greenlandic government is very strict in regulation. Are there environmental risks? Of course there are. Are communities concerned? Yes, they are. But does Greenland see it as beneficial and important to diversify their economy? Absolutely.
So what happens now?
The Greenlandic mining sector is full of opportunity and promise. We must also realise Greenland is not a barren, frozen wasteland, as some of us in London or New York or San Francisco would like to believe. What happens very often is that the environmental movement, dominated in cities like London and New York, would like to challenge communities in the Arctic to not have any development. Whereas for the communities in the Arctic, much of climate change globally is caused by the heartlands of industrial production in the Western world or in China or India. So they find it unfair that, you know, we have our schools and hospitals and jobs and economic opportunities, but we tell them, wait a minute, there should be no economic development in your area. And if you don't have jobs, if you don't have economic growth, they won't have infrastructure, they won't have schools or hospitals. So it is perpetuating a cycle of poverty and deprivation in certain communities in Greenland. Development can be good, provided it is sustainable and responsible.
So when it comes to rare earths metals, can Greenland compete with China on the same scale?
Yes, of course it can. If you look at China's statistics of the past 10 years, they've had control of about 90 to 95% of global production. Greenland's rise is the first time China could potentially find a rival in the rare earth space. Also, if you go right far to the northernmost corner of Greenland, you have the world's northernmost zinc mines. These are the world's largest undiscovered zinc-lead deposits. It's held by a firm called Ironbark Zinc. And a Chinese firm has gone into partnership with Ironbark about development in the area. So sometimes China steps in on its own name. Sometimes it does so through joint ventures with Greenlandic firms or under the guise of sort of Australian companies. I should add a disclaimer. If you look at the Greenlandic Mineral Authority statistics in February 2019, of the 37 licensees and partners enlisted by the Greenlandic government in the mineral space, about 10 or 12 are held by British firms, about 6 to 8 are held by Canadian firms, and about 5 to 6 are held by Australian firms. So while I say China has a growing footprint, we must also recognise, to be fair, that there are numerous Commonwealth actors, particularly British, Australian and Canadian, also in the space. The difference is they don't present potentially the same security threat to US military interests that are so enshrined in the region.